how many of you, when you think about your last week of work, whatever that looks like, because we all work, how many of you can look back at your last work week and think, work was so great, I accomplished something, there were no problems, no frustration, it was so joyful that I just can't wait to start again? You can raise your hands high. Okay, don't look at me like that. Like, I'm just raising your hand to show you how to raise your hand. Like, this is one of the problems with your work. God designed you to work, and work is supposed to be fulfilling and joy-bringing. That's what we've been talking about. In Genesis, God creates the heavens and the earth, and then he creates people in his image, and he puts people in the Garden of Eden, like paradise. And do you know what people did in paradise? Well, God put people in the Garden of Eden to work it, Genesis says. Which means that there's a part of you that when you accomplish something, you do exactly what you're wired to do. When you create, when you sustain, in a way you are shining the image of the Creator, Sustainer God, which means your work is supposed to be fulfilling and joyful. But then you keep reading in Genesis and something happened to it. The fall of humanity changed everything. And work becomes frustrating. Murphy's Law becomes familiar. Our own nature, like all of our stuff is a problem, and all of here is a problem, because we lean toward workaholism, where we value work more than people, or we lean toward laziness, where we value comfort more than work. Like, those are two extremes. And since Genesis 3, greed, selfishness, manipulation, deceit are constantly influencing us in ways that mess us up. Like, here's why only like two of you raised your hands, I think. Your workplace, whatever that is, it's broken and messed up because of what the Bible refers to as the curse. This is why you work at times and you feel fruitless and frustrated. Now, last week we looked at the book of Philemon, and man, it was one amazing story about something that changed all of that, about the potential that the gospel has, but that how believing in the cross and heaven and hell changed a dysfunctional workplace in ways that are just hard to imagine. Like, if you weren't here last week, you got to read Philemon. It is an amazing story because the gospel is just powerful enough to change dysfunction. But the question we walked away with last week for Christians is simple. How do we get to that change? Like, how does your faith, like believing the gospel, how does that change us from people who sometimes feel unfulfilled and frustrated and impatient? How does God change our workplaces, our hearts, to become people who find joy in our work, in doing what we're called to do? Anybody else want to know how to do that? I bet way more of you would raise your hand to that question. I can't wait to tell you. Now, let me start with one simple word answer to that question. And it's one of these really big words. It's a small word, but it has endless implication. The word is eternity. Eternity. Eternity is part of faith. Like, believing the gospel is believing that this short life does not end in death. Like, we talk about this a lot. We go on. We live on. This is why we're not more afraid of death or sickness or aging, because simply put, when we die, we believe that we go on living forever, for eternity, which is a very, very, very long time. Now, one of the challenges with wrapping our minds around this word is that we are not good at thinking about the long haul. Most companies, it's been said, make bad decisions because they're more worried about the next quarter than long-term health. Our political leaders often make bad decisions when they're more concerned about the next election or the next news cycle than long-term change. And eternity is that perspective that has a potential to give meaning, perspective, and joy to your work that might otherwise seem purposeless and meaningless. Like, here's what the Bible says about eternity. Like, here's a quick summary. You probably know this. This life is really, really short. And a new and better world is coming. And God has a great future in store for people who trust in Christ. But this is the thing that we forget. How you do your work now not only matters right now, but it matters for eternity. Like this might be the one short word that can add meaning and value to your work that seems meaningless and frustrating at times. Eternity. And the gospel pushes us to think about more than just this present moment. And here's the thing. If you start looking at your future and not just your present, it changes. Like, eternity changes how you think about your work. And here's the thing. You already know this. Because you already do this to some extent already, right? You all think about the future when you work, right? You're not thinking about hundreds or thousands of years from now. But most of you work. And if you have a job where you get paid, like, you don't get paid the same day, usually, right? Most jobs you work, and then you get a paycheck days, weeks, sometimes months later, right? That's how work works. You work now for the future. Or think about parents. You know what's a lot of work? Kids. And here's what every good parent believes about kids. You don't have forever, so you work really hard right now, and it usually doesn't feel worth it, to be honest with you. But you work hard now because you believe one day the kids will grow up and it will be all worth it. Like for my family, we work really hard lots of times every day at trying to get our kids to eat healthy and asleep. It's not easy. Like what'd be easy is to give our kids chocolate three meals a day. And I've thought about it because let's be honest, making kids have healthy meals isn't fun, right? Like every mealtime, it's like you're negotiating with little terrorists. Like they could do anything at any moment. And it doesn't even make a difference that day, right? Like eating vegetables on Sunday probably isn't going to make you more healthy on Sunday or Monday. But every parent believes this. You're convinced that if kids eat healthy or exercise character or work, like whatever thing you do right now, you believe that in 6 months, in a year, in 10 years... Like, you're working now for the future. You believe that your work now makes a difference between, I don't know, healthy kids and kids with complicated health issues. Or if you teach a kid how to work, maybe in 10 years they'll have a work ethic. You already know this. In fact, the most fulfilling work you do right now is for future reward. Like, some of you are bakers or cooks. I know some of you guys will get, like, a nice rack of ribs, right? And you work really hard at trimming it just right, and you get the dry rub perfect, and then you cut down some hickory or some apple wood, which, let's be honest, it's not fun. It's just a lot of work. It's messy. It's icky. And do you know what you get right after you do all the work of mixing or prepping ribs? Not a thing. All you do is sit next to an oven or sit next to a smoker for 8, 12 hours, and you're not getting paid for that. It's not your job. Some of you do this for fun and you love it. Do you know why you do that? And I can almost smell it, right? Because you believe that the future of ribs or cake or whatever adds meaning to tasks that just seem unpleasant, to be honest with you. That's what Christians believe. In fact, for Christians, the perspective of future reward changes everything about your work, even if it feels annoying and frustrating. Maybe the one thing that can give your work meaning and joy is thinking about eternity. And that's actually really hard, because you might be like, sure, I can picture what happens when the smoker's done, because I've had ribs before. I can picture what it's like when kids finally grew up to be adults, because I've met adults. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to wait for a paycheck. I know what that's like. But eternity? I've never seen that. Eternity is not something I could like grasp my mind around. What is eternity like, and how might the future help my work have meaning right now? So Jesus tells a story about that. And it's about work and eternity. And he tells a story that doesn't start off answering a question about a work. He starts this story answering a question about eternity and talking about heaven. But here's how he answers, maybe even saying a little bit more than people are asking. Let me tell you a fascinating story. This is Matthew 25. I'll start in verse 14. Jesus says this, again, it, He's talking about eternity. He says, eternity, the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey. And he calls his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went away on a journey. Now the man who had 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags gained 2 bags. But the one who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of the servants, let me say this again, after a long time, that felt like a long time because it was a long time, the master of the servants finally returned back from his journey to settle accounts. And the man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. And the master replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, he says, and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have worked and gained 2 more. And the master replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. He said, Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting we have not sown, gathering we have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the bag. See, here's what belongs to you. In other words, I didn't work. I didn't do a thing. And the master replied, shockingly, you wicked, lazy servant. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it for you. You know all you need to know. Things are not going good for the lazy, wicked guy. Why? Like, what did he do? The thing he did was, well, he didn't work with what God told him to do. I mean, you know this story probably. The parable is a powerful owner representing God gives resources and responsibility. He gives out work and resources to work to people that represents us. And then he leaves for a long time, it seems like forever. And here's the thing, because it seems like forever, some of the workers worked really hard with what they had. And it was different amounts and different things, but that didn't really matter. The owner cares about the big stuff. He cares about the little stuff. And you've got to imagine, right? It'd be hard to be these guys. And I'll bet it felt unjust at times. But while the owner was away, some of the workers worked really hard. Some of them didn't work. And it felt like nobody is watching for so long. And it felt like their work didn't matter. But as it turns out, they're wrong on both counts. Somebody is watching, and it does matter a lot. Clearly, there's a lot in this story, but here's the big story. Here's the big point. I think Jesus is teaching us about work and about eternity. Here's something that's true about everybody. You have all been entrusted by God with resources and something to work at. All sorts of different things. Some things that seem big that people notice. Some things that are small that nobody notice. But sometimes it feels like it doesn't matter. That's why work feels frustrating. That's why it feels unfair, because you see wicked people do great. You'll see good people suffer. You'll work. And it doesn't seem like anything's getting done at times. That's what life is like. Do you know what eternity is? Well, here's what eternity is. Eternity is getting the unseen, postponed reward, or not, when after what seems like a long time, the guy who gave you everything you have and everything you're supposed to do comes to check up on what you did with what you had. And this life is shorter than you think, and eternity is longer than you can imagine. And part of faith for people like us means managing what God has given you now well. The Bible says this in a bunch of places. The author of Ecclesiastes puts it this way, and this is, I'll be honest, this is terrifying. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says that God will bring every deed, that's stuff you do, into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil, which is, like this is scary, right? What the Bible says is that each of us, one day, the owner's going to come back, and we have to give a full accounting to God for our life. But this says, and lots of other verses too, that God somehow cares about your work, and he will reward it in ways that you don't see when you're over here, but you discover in eternity, which means something incredible. It means that your every deed, you see that? It matters more than you think. You know, so this afternoon at 2:00 is our dedication service. And I don't want to give too much away, but one of the surprises that I found fascinating is that somebody found some 8mm movie footage of construction on this building from the early 50s. Like, you can see guys digging and doing brick, and Mark's going to talk about it, and we're just going to celebrate how faithful God has been to us in the long term. And I got a box with old pictures and just thinking about all the ways that God has been faithful to us. And I've thought about, like, in the 1930s when a group of you started this church. And I've had a picture standing over there in 1934. We broke ground in the fall. It was right after the Great Depression, and our country was in a hopeless mess. You can read about it, but people had problems. I just read, like, what it was like, and I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around how awful things were. And right over there, a group of people, and our church was made up of recent immigrants. Some of them were refugees running away from what was going on in Holland in the early 30s, just awful stuff. And they found themselves running from danger into scarcity. Like, that's when our church started. And then soon after we broke ground, like a month or two later, World War II broke out. And I tried to picture myself in those council meetings, trying to look for a new office bearers when guys were getting drafted. Like, that's when our church was founded. And I mean, these are folks who didn't have anything, but they were still incredibly generous and sacrificial with their time and talents and whatever they had. And do you know what they did next? Like, it's a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. They used different language than Jesus' story. And the verse on our cornerstone says, not to us. In other words, I don't need credit for what I'm doing right now. But to God be the glory, it says. And the people who founded this community said that the present right now might be hard. It might feel hopeless. It might be confusing. And our work might be really, really hard and frustrating. But this is short. What really matters is a bigger picture of God's glory. Let's live right now for eternity. And I get to read about it. Do you know what they did? They worked really, really hard. And everybody benefits from it. From wars fought, businesses started, roads, culture, family, legacies, hospitals. Like, it wasn't easy. It was frustrating. It was disappointing in that moment. If you went back to the 1930s and asked the people around here, they may have identified themselves as the most disappointed generation. They may have identified themselves as the most frustrated generation. But the longer view of history calls them the greatest generation. Do you know why? Not because their work was easy or immediately fulfilling, but because men and women worked for something bigger than themselves. And do you know why people would work so hard? Do you know how they did? I mean, the thing that we find so hard, right? Finding purpose and joy in work that can be so frustrating. I think a thing that set them apart wasn't that they got immediate success or that things were easy. Like, I think they did it with eternity in mind. To go, one day, this will all matter for something. And this is exactly what the Bible teaches, that your work right now is done even when it feels frustrating and hard in each moment. And even when God may give you something to manage that what doesn't seem as important or as much as what other people have to work with, here is the unavoidable fact from Scripture, but it's so easy to forget, but it's so important. You work right now, not for right now, but for eternity. I mean, think about some of these verses. I'm going to read a bunch of verses. Just let them sink in. This is huge. Here's one. Colossians 3:23 says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Why? Like, why do I work so hard? Well, here it is. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. In other words, like, work really hard for eternity. Or Romans 2:6, God will repay each person, oh boy, according to what they have done. In other words, what you do matters. Or 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, even if it feels like it sometimes. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, even if it feels like a really long time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Like, do you hear what God says here? Eternity should motivate you to work well now. And this is what I believe have driven Christians like those in our church to work so hard. Because we believe that eventually, in this short life or in eternity, we will reap a reward and enter, in the language of Jesus, into the happiness of our Master, so we don't give up even when we want to, even when it's hard. And this is what the Bible teaches. Like, we do this a lot. Like, working right now for eternity might be that thing that can give meaning to your work no matter what it looks like. And it looks like, I don't know, like, your work week might be forgettable, right? But here's the irony of things. Do you know who doesn't forget about it? God. And one day, reward or not, will bring meaning to the efforts and the character and the ethics that you think were overlooked or forgotten, but you discover that they matter. And for us, I think eternity should be a huge motivator. Eternity is why showing God's love to neighbors now matters. It's why showing integrity and character and kindness matters, even when you think like nobody's watching. This is one reason why we give so generously of our time and talents and treasures to the kingdom of God. And let me say this. There's a talk about trying to add meaning to your everyday's work, right? But I will say, in addition to that, anytime you serve in the nursery, around the many people who worked hard on our facilities or for our missions, or, you know, every time we give an offering in our services, we pass a plate, we put something in it, and it is one way of investing now for eternity, in a way that we go, God, I know you're watching, here's what I did with the time, the talent, and the treasure that you entrusted with me. I invested it for you to do what you want with it. And that right there probably matters more than you realize, but you'll find out. And of course, there's a theological tension I want to recognize, of course, that your work, while Scripture says that you get rewarded and judged for it, your work doesn't save you. I need to recognize what other Scripture says, that you can't possibly work hard enough to become one of God's workers to earn God's grace. And I need to point out that, you know, folks who waste the bulk of their lives with, like, they've made a lot of bad decisions and they're on their deathbed and they have no time to make things better. I mean, the thief on the cross was welcomed in the kingdom of heaven. And I don't want to say all this without recognizing that we discover that our God is far more gracious and kind and loving than we imagine, and that is graciously true. But at the same time, I can't gloss over the other thing Scripture says. That somehow, another thing you find out in eternity is that what you do right now matters. If you're a Christian, you're working toward reward, that I'm just not sure how to define. You're running toward a prize. And every generation works toward something bigger than themselves with longer lasting legacies than this present moment. Here's what I'm convinced God has for us today. This, I believe, is the key to starting to give your work meaning, to instill it, whatever your tasks look like, with a purpose and accomplishment. I think this is the thing that adds motivation to work that sometimes just feels meaningless and frustrating. Here it is. Work now. Whatever that looks like. Work now with eternity in mind. Work now. Love people. Raise your family. Do your job. Knowing that God is going to look at what you did with what you had. And I think if you had that perspective, it would drastically change everything. Work right now as if someone is going to read about you 85 years later. Parent, to raise healthy adult kids that contribute to society. Talk as if everybody is listening. Work, make decisions as if God is watching. Because you know what? He is. And I think if you start to do that, if you work now with eternity in mind, I think it forces us to make better decisions. It'll force you to spend and use what you have in less impulsive, more meaningful ways. And maybe it helps just to ask, what can I do right now so that some point in the future, a year from now, a decade, or in eternity, when I stand before Jesus, what can I do now that I wish I had done when I stand before the throne of God and I have to give an account for every deed and explain how I use my time, talent, and treasure for God? Eternity can drastically change how you think about your present work. So Father in heaven, can you give us eyes to see who you are? Can you protect us from the tyranny of the urgent and give us the eyes to see eternity? Father, may our every decision, may our words, may our deeds, may our thoughts contribute to a day when you say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master's happiness." Could you make that true for all of us? I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.